You are officially invited into the 7th episode of Not a Wine Drinker. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. I'm your host, Amy. And this week, I've got a little vampire pun for you. So, two priests walk into a vampire. One says, "Quick, show him your cross." And the other priest crosses his arms and says, "I'm so disappointed in you." Get it? Because he's cross and he wears a cross. Okay. Anyway, sorry. That was terrible. But it's kind of how I feel about this movie. So, we are looking at the 1998 John Carpenter flick, Vampires. It's a Western horror movie, and you know that it's a Western because in the very beginning of the movie, well, one, they state that they're in New Mexico. It's like the second line. The two main characters, Jack Crow and Tony Montoya, are looking at this house, and Jack Crow says that it's a New Mexico shithole. But the other reason you know that this is a Western is that when they cut to the house itself, you see a tumbleweed go by. And of course, tumbleweeds mean the American West, right? Well, here's a little natural history lesson for you. Tumbleweeds are actually not native to the Americas. They come from Eurasia. And the tumbleweed species that we most often see is the Russian thistle, and is actually considered a highly invasive species because there's no natural predators here. None of our animals really like to eat it. It's very woody. It gets thorny. So it's not grazed down. And actually, a couple weeks ago, there was some news about tumbleweeds coming through on a dust storm through some towns across Utah, Nevada, and California, just kind of like covering some of the towns. So yeah, they're a big problem. Anyway, a little trivia there for you. So these guys are checking out this quote-unquote shithole. They get in their vans and they drive down to it. The back of the van opens up and all these guys pop out and they're gearing up. They're getting all their weapons and looking cool. And then they go into the house and lo and behold, they find some vampires. And so they start killing them. And they ended up killing 9 of the vampires, which you know because they put all their skulls on the hood of the van. But they didn't find the master. So apparently there's masters in here. And then that night they go to a motel called the Sun God Motel. A little joke there. They have this huge party. They're drinking. They're throwing lamps through windows. And they somehow, in this nothing little town, they acquired like a whole bunch of prostitutes. Like, I don't know where they could have come from. But anyways, so they're all partying, whatever. And then the master vampire shows up. He bites one of the prostitutes. She's alone in the room because she was waiting for Jack Crow to come. So he turns her into a vampire for some reason. And then he goes into the main rooms and just slaughters everyone else. Like all the other vampire hunters, all the prostitutes. The only two to survive are Jack Crow and Tony Montoya. And they find the prostitute that got bit. Her name is Katrina. And they decide to take her because even though she's going to turn into a vampire, she will have a psychic link with the master vampire. So she can tell them where he is and what he's up to. This poor woman, like, this is one of the main reasons why I just have a huge problem with this movie, because they start treating her like absolute garbage for no reason. Like, she's not a vampire yet and she's scared. She doesn't know what's going on. They basically kidnap her and then they take her to a hotel. And Tony Montoya decides that it's a good idea to strip her naked, tie her to the bed prone. So she wakes up and she's freaked out. She doesn't know what's going on. And his reasoning for why he did that is just like, it's so thin. Like, you know that the only reason they did that was for the male gaze. Like, it's just, oh boy, howdy. And he like creepily climbs on top of her. It's just, ugh, it's so gross. And then like in the next scene, she's still naked in the bed, but she's not tied up anymore. So like, what was the whole point of doing that before? Like, it just, ugh, makes no sense. And he's still treating her like really hostile. Then somewhere in the movie, he totally switches his attitude and decides that he is now in love with her. By the end of the movie, he's like, okay, I'm going to run away with her because I love her. But you never find out if she loves him. She doesn't say anything about wanting to be with him, but I guess that doesn't really matter. So yeah, that whole subplot was just absolutely horrible. But the main plot, the actual killing vampires plot, follows the main vampire killer, Jack Crow. He goes to the church because, lo and behold, he's actually working for the Catholic Church, just like another movie that I recently talked about, Van Helsing. And so he talks to the cardinal, Cardinal Alba. They get into a fight, but the cardinal tells him to take a new priest with him, Father Adam Gateau. Those two become kind of like a buddy cop movie where, like, oh, I don't need another person with me, blah, blah, blah. And I don't trust you, Father Adam Gateau. But hey, then we get into this crazy adventure together. And now by the end of the movie, we're cool friends. Yay. We're going to go off on some more adventures together. So they're searching for this master vampire. They find out through Katrina, through her psychic link, that he is searching for this Black Cross, and he finds it. And for some reason, Father Adam is reluctant to tell Crow why Valak is looking for this cross. Valak is the master vampire. But Crow eventually gets it out of him. And it's because with this cross, he can do this ritual so that vampires can walk in the daylight. And they eventually get to where Valak is. Crow and Montoya and Father Adam fight and kill some of the vampires. But then Crow gets taken and he becomes part of the ritual that Valak is doing. And Crow this whole time was looking. He knew that there was a snitch somewhere that had given Valak information about him. And it turns out, spoiler alert, it was the cardinal. Cardinal Alba is like afraid of death. So he's like, I'd rather be a vampire instead. So so he starts helping Valak with this ritual. I guess as part of this ritual, they need to kill Crow. So they put Crow up on a cross. And Father Adam tries to rescue Crow, but that doesn't work out. But then Montoya comes and he does rescue Crow. And there's this great part where they tear down the cross that Crow is on, and in the shot, it's clearly a mannequin that's on the cross that gets dragged by Montoya's car. And then there's more fighting, and Crow and Valak have, you know, the big boss fight, and Crow finally kills Valak with some sunlight. Yay! Montoya had gotten bitten by Katrina, so now he's about to become a vampire. Crow is supposed to kill him, but because Montoya helped him out, he's like, all right, I'll give you 2 days. And so Montoya takes Katrina without asking. They leave, and then it's just Crow and Father Adam, buddy buddies. Yay! So Vampires was originally a novel by John Stakely that came out in 1990. It was a fantasy, sci-fi, futuristic novel about these vampire hunters in the future. And then in 1992, Largo Entertainment bought the rights to turn the novel into a movie. There were a bunch of directors that were attached. The first being Russell Mulcahy, who he's an Australian, and he's done like a whole ton of music videos. And he's also well known for directing Highlander. So he was first attached to this. And Dolph Lundgren of Rocky fame was attached to play Jack Crow. Willem Dafoe was also attached. Doesn't say who, but rumors are saying it was probably Valak, but that all fell through. Funnily enough, Russell Mulcahy then went on to direct the movie Silent Trigger, and he brought Dolph Lundgren with him to star in it. Largo then asked Carpenter to come direct it. Carpenter at this time had just come off of Escape from LA, and he was about to quit directing. Like, he just was not finding it fun anymore and just wanted out. But he got the script. They gave him 2 scripts, and then he also ended up reading the novel. He was really intrigued. He thought that this would work great as a Western, and he'd always wanted to direct a Western. That's why it is set as a Western, not as a futuristic sci-fi. And the budget had originally been $60 million, but then it got cut down to $20 million. So Carpenter had to do all these rewrites of the script. I'll give it that, you know, maybe some of the things that were wrong with the movie are because they had to slash their budget so much. So then casting for this, Carpenter didn't want Jack Crow to be like this muscly meathead. He wanted someone more just vicious. So his first choice, of course, was Kurt Russell. He had done a few movies with him already and they worked really well together. But unfortunately, Russell was unavailable and went through a few other actors as well, but none of them were available. So the role finally went to James Woods. James Woods is known, had been known as being a difficult actor to work with, but Carpenter said that what he did with him was he would do two takes, and he told Woods, you know, the first take, just stick to the script. And then the second take is yours. You can do what you want. And he said it worked out great that way. And James Woods actually came up with some really great ideas. And for Tony Montoya, Alec Baldwin was actually attached to the role at first, but then he dropped out. But he recommended his brother Daniel for the role. So that's why Daniel Baldwin is in it. And when I saw the opening credits where they said the name Daniel Baldwin, I was like, oh, I wonder if that's a Baldwin brother. And then I saw him and I was like, oh, that is definitely a Baldwin brother. He looks so much like his brothers. Because I don't think I've ever seen Daniel in anything else. But the Baldwin traits are strong in that family. And then for Katrina, that went to Cheryl Lee of Twin Peaks fame. So Carpenter said that he didn't want his vampires to be like the usual gothic vampires of that era. You know, Interview with the Vampire had come out in 1994, and that was huge, and that kind of became the trope of that decade. And so he said that he just wanted the vampires to be blood-sucking hunters, which really came through, except for Valak, who totally looks gothic. He's got like the long flowing hair, and he's wearing all black, and he's got the pale face and the very intense eyes. So I don't know. I still thought that he had a kind of a gothic look going on with him. And the movie's very angry. Like, Crow and Montoya get into so many fights for no reason at all. It doesn't move the plot forward or anything, and it's just to show off their machismo, I guess. I don't know. Maybe it would have worked if the movie didn't take itself so seriously. It just seemed to try too hard to be too serious. Like Big Trouble in Little China. Or like the fight scene in They Live, where Roddy Piper and Keith David's characters get into that fight over trying on the glasses. At first it's a verbal fight, and then it goes into that physical fight that's like, it's over 5 minutes long. And a little piece of trivia, that actually was only supposed to last 20 seconds, but Piper and David decided to fight it out for real, and they rehearsed the fight for like weeks. So that's why it actually runs so much longer. And it's great. It's like, it's just so tongue-in-cheek that, like, you know, it's so ridiculous that it's funny, which that just doesn't come across in this movie, and I think it suffers because of that. So the lore you got going on here, like I said, Carpenter didn't want the gothic vampire. And that really comes through when Crow is explaining to Father Adam what vampires are like. And he says they don't turn into bats, crosses don't affect them, garlic doesn't affect them, they're not in silk-lined coffins. Really, the only things that kill them are a stake to the heart, cutting their heads off, or sunlight. And when sunlight hits them, they instantly burst into flames, which they like to show over and over and over again. The practical effects were great. There's actually, oh my goodness, the scene where Valak is slaughtering everyone in the motel. The first person he encounters is one of the vampire hunters, Catelyn, and he just puts his hand through Catelyn's body and then thrusts upward, and the body just splits in two. It's just like, it's such classic Carpenter practical effects. I loved it. And so, yeah, so sunlight, they burst into flames. So the vampire hunters use the system where they shoot them with an arrow that's connected to a steel cable that's winched to a car. And once the arrow is shot into the vampire, then someone who's driving the car puts it in reverse and pulls the vampire into the sun. And it's weird that, like, the vampires, once, like, they're supposed to be really strong, but once they're shot with the arrow, for some reason, like, they can't figure out how to keep themselves from being dragged. Except one vampire figured out that they could hold onto a pole, and they're strong enough that they were able to snap the steel cable. So I don't know why, like, that one vampire was strong enough, but none of the other vampires were strong enough. There's a lot of plot holes. You know, shouldn't be taking this movie too seriously, but that also kind of annoyed me. And then there's this big ceremony that Valak wants to do in order to be able to walk in the sun. And of course, that's really bad, because then they'd be able to hunt both during the day and during the night. And it's a pretty elaborate ritual where they have to like sing and they have to kill a guy on a cross, and it has to happen exactly when the sun's coming up. And again, elaborate rituals. How do they know? Like, Valak is the first vampire, so how did he get this knowledge of how exactly this would work for him? That's a running theme for me throughout this season. I'm like, how do vampires gain all this knowledge that they always seem to have? I don't know. What are your theories? This is probably the first movie for this podcast that I really did not like. The reviews were mixed when it came out. Some really thought it was fun, and some felt like me, that it did not work for various reasons. It has since grown to get a cult following. There's a lot of people who really love it now. And commercially, it was a success for Carpenter. It was actually his only successful movie in the 90s. And there were actually two sequels to it. They were direct-to-video, but there was Vampires Los Muertos, which starred Jon Bon Jovi, which is probably amazing. And though Carpenter didn't direct it, he did produce that. And then there was a third movie, Vampires the Turning, Carpenter was not attached to at all. And I've heard the second one is like redeemably bad, you know, one of those so bad it's good ones. And then the third one is just not worth it at all. So there you go. Have you seen this movie? Did you like it? What are your thoughts? How'd you feel about how Katrina was treated throughout the movie? And of course, if you've made it this far, you know that I let you know the next movie that I will be watching. And I did not learn my lesson of watching a movie that I don't know anything about beforehand. So I've decided that I'm going to go with Vamps, which the only thing I know about it is that it's directed by Amy Heckerling and it stars Alicia Silverstone, a director-actor reunion from Clueless. So I'm excited to see how it is. I have no expectations. I don't know. Maybe it's terrible. Maybe it's amazing. Maybe it's terribly amazing. We'll see. Thank you so much for listening. Please like, subscribe, share among your vampires and vampire hunters. You know what I think? Jack Crow was really a very irritable character. I think what he really could have used was a good cup of hot coffee. If you want to make sure I don't end up like a real irritable bastard, then go to buymeacoffee.com/notawinedrinker and you can buy me a cup of coffee or two or three or however many you think I need. Oh boy. All right. Well, I hope your next couple weeks don't suck. And until next time, let me just ask you one question. When I was kicking your ass back there, did you get a little wood? Okay, bye.